Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mean Green Nation podcast, Wednesday edition, where we preview the Old Dominion Monarchs. This week we have Pilot Online, or the Virginian Pilots, Ed Miller, who does the ODU Blitz blog, also has a podcast. So let's get right into it. Let's talk some ODU football. Okay, so Old Dominion had a 10-win season last year. And, you know, I think they're well coached. I like Bobby Wilder. He's a fun guy. I met him at Conference USA Media Days. He's really cool. I think everybody likes him. This is a very tough coaching job. And, you know, they have super young team. Ed, do you want to kind of explain, you know, for those of us, especially in the Conference USA West, who don't really get to see Old Dominion play too often, what's going on over there? Is it just youth? Is it just sort of like a rebuilding, retooling kind of year?
No, not really. It's more a bunch of things that happened at the beginning of the year. They had some injuries that really set them back. The big question before the season was who was going to play quarterback. They lost David Washington, who was a pretty good playmaker for them last year. And but other than that, they had a lot of guys coming back on both sides of the ball. But, you know, they thought they'd be able to run the ball. And they had playmakers and a receiver that, you know, no matter who played quarterback was going to have a, you know, wasn't going to have to do a whole lot. Was going to be basically, you know, a game manager. And what happened was Ray Lowry, an all conference back, a 1,000-yard rusher the last couple of years, he got hurt in the very first game, in the very first period. And week after that, Jonathan Duhard, who's by far their best receiver, he was lost for the season with a broken foot. And then they lost a starting right tackle, went down. They had another receiver who was out. So basically the offense was kind of stuck in the mud, dead in the water, whatever you want to say. And the two guys who were competing to play quarterback, Blake LaRussa and Jordan Hoy, really weren't having a lot of success in moving the team. So the middle of the second half of the North Carolina game, which was a big deal for Old Dominion to get North Carolina playing at home. Old Dominion was getting, you know, pretty much hammered by the Tar Heels, who haven't had a very good season, but they looked really good that day. And Bobby Wilder just, you know, looked at the sideline and decided to go with this true freshman quarterback, Stephen Williams. He's only 17 years old. And he sort of energized the team. Since then, he's had his ups and downs, as you would imagine, from a player that young. And Old Dominion now, they're about as healthy as they've been all year. They're not going to get Duhart back, but they have Lowry back. A couple guys on defense who were banged up are now back. And so it's been a rough. It's definitely been a rough year for them. I think they were expecting a lot better. They were talking before the season about competing for the East Division title because, you know, they won 7-1 in the league last year and lost to Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky basically pounded them in their head-to-head meeting. So really, they had much, much higher expectations than this. I think a lot of people did.
Yeah, and I guess going to Stephen Williams kind of, yeah, and that's what I was kind of thinking. It's like, it's more like rebuilding and retooling kind of thing. I mean, but it's understandable. This kid is like super talented. I mean, he has a great arm. It is really incredible to me that he's 17 years old. But, I mean, from everything I've read on your blog and elsewhere, he, you know, he's like leadership qualities. He's like, you know, wise beyond his years, that kind of thing. I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's a guy that started hearing about him in the summer. They're doing summer workouts. Heard from some people that this guy is really looking good. And in fact, Taylor Heineke, who you may remember played at Old Dominion, he talked them up. Anyway, started watching him in preseason camp, and yeah, sure enough, he looked really good. Clearly, he had more upside than either of the other two quarterbacks. LaRussa was a former walk-on. He's a local kid from Virginia Beach, very popular, hard worker, you know, but he's about 5'10", 5'11". And then Jordan Hoy is a junior college transfer, again, about 5'11". Not the greatest thrower in the world. He's more of a runner, kind of read option guy. So I thought, you know, I wrote a story actually in the preseason on Williams, and I thought maybe I was getting a little ahead of myself and said, you know, hey, this guy may actually play this year. And sure enough, once you go with him, Bobby Wilder's feeling is, you know, once you take the red shirt off, you just got to ride with the guy because, you know, you don't burn the red shirt and then rotate him out when he plays poorly. He's got to get some games under his belt. But I think they still thought they could win with him this year. You know, if they get the pieces back in place, the defense has got some good players. You know, next year is obviously looking pretty good with Williams as a sophomore. And then the interesting thing was Lowry was expected to be out for the year. That's the initial announcement they made. And, you know, it turns out he comes back. So won't have Ray Lowry next year. But a lot of other guys are back. So, the future looks pretty good. But they're still trying to salvage something out of this year, too.
Yeah, I think North Texas kind of can relate to that situation. I mean, you know, last year Seth Luttrell decided to go with Mason Fine, and he was a freshman. That was a surprise to a lot of people. I think we were all kind of expecting him to be a redshirt candidate. But, you know, they rolled him out there, and, you know, they played him about as much as they could until he got hurt. So I think we can definitely understand that situation.
Yeah, definitely.
So would you say go ahead, Aldo. You have a question.
Yeah, Aldo here. How have you seen Stephen Williams be used? I've seen him just one game from him, and he's a really good runner. He's got a cannon for an arm. But how does Old Dominion use him in the game?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of, basically in the shotgun. And he, you know, he's when he came in against North Carolina, it was like flag football. He was just throwing the ball downfield. And he had a 71-yard touchdown pass. And since then, you know, he's struggled a bit on the deep ball. I think they're trying to simplify some of his reads. I mean, he's very savvy for his age, but, you know, he still hasn't played a lot of college football, obviously. But he had a lot of runs last week against Western Kentucky that Bobby Wilder said weren't necessarily called. They were just options for him to go. He ran for 45 yards. He can roll out. You know, he can maybe sort of roll the pocket with him. You know, he can run a little bit of read option. He can quarterback draw. You know, he's an elusive runner. I think they want to keep him in one piece, so they're a little wary. He's only, I bet, you know, he's probably 180 pounds, you know, if that. He's about, it looks like 6'4". He's not 6'4". He's every bit of like 6'2", maybe 6'3". So, yeah, he's got a great arm. And throws a nice deep ball. Of late, though, you know, he's had 9 interceptions. So that tells you, maybe his accuracy right now is not everything it should be.
Yeah. So
and it sounds like they like to throw the ball with him a lot. Like they throw balls on first down pretty often. So they're pretty aggressive with him.
Yeah. Although since Lowry's been back, and they have another pretty good running back, Jeremy Cox. You know, they've been pounding the ball in the run game. They ran the ball very well at Marshall in the first half, and then Marshall just loaded up, and, you know, 9 in the box, and Old Dominion wasn't able to throw it much in the second half. Same thing against Western, you know, a couple long drives on the ground. So do some play action. I think they're trying not to put too much on Williams, but, you know, definitely they're looking – for more chances to get some explosive plays in the passing game. When Duhart went out, Travis Fulgham was considered to be the next guy in line. He's another kind of big receiver. He really hasn't played very well. They're looking for more out of him. They've been trying a bunch of guys at wide receiver, and if you look at the stats, they're pretty spare. The leading receiver's got 16 catches, and here we are halfway through the season. So, not a lot of production, but they're trying not to hang it all on Steve. And I think, you know, again, with Lowry back, the original hope this year was to be a run-first downhill team that could do play action and stuff like that. And they thought they had receivers on the outside who could win matchups one-on-one. That hasn't been the case. So they're trying a lot of different stuff. And, you know, last week it worked pretty well, but turnovers – sense of breakdowns and, you know, when you're going bad, that those kind of things happen.
Yeah, so I'm guessing we're going to see more of the Old Dominion that played well against Western Kentucky than some of the earlier games where they were kind of trying to figure things out. Is that about right?
Yeah, I think so. Although, you know, it's hard to say going on the road. You know, the Marshall game was a nice step forward from it. It got away really quick. I know it doesn't look like much of the 35-3 doesn't look like it was much of a game. It was a 14-3 game. I think in the third, it was the second half, I think. And then it really just came apart all of a sudden. So, yeah, I think, you know, I was talking to Williams today about going on the road, and he's played better at home, as you would expect most young quarterbacks would.
Yeah.
But, you know, he played at Lane Stadium at Virginia Tech, and he played at Marshall, which had a big crowd for homecoming. So, you know, he's getting some seasoning, and you know, he knows he's got to, as he said it, you know, kind of keep everyone together on the road, which is, you know, he won't turn 18 until November 4th. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's so incredible. I just started thinking about, like, what I was doing at 17, and I definitely wasn't leading a major college football team in anything. You know, I mean, I don't know if I could have been a leader.
No.
Yeah, that's incredible.
No, we got a lot of high school, you know, quarterbacks right here who are older than him. You know, it's not uncommon, you know, for guys to graduate 18, 19 in high school these days. And, you know, he definitely could be in high school this year for sure.
So crazy, so incredible. So, like, I was reading a little bit of your power rankings there, and you mentioned Marshall a little bit. You know, I don't know how good Marshall is because I'm a little bit concerned about their offense. I don't know if they're as explosive as I think we'd like them to be. You know, like when I watched a little bit of that Marshall Old Dominion game, and I didn't really know what to think about either team. Really, I was like, "Is this a great defensive effort by Old Dominion, or is this just kind of Marshall not really being as explosive as we think they should be?" I don't know. What's your opinion of the Thundering Herd?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only time I've seen them. So I could say, you know, early on, I'm like, yeah, I wasn't really impressed by their offense, and had heard a lot about you know, Chase Luton, and he had an okay game. They didn't run the ball that well. You know, they got the receiver Brady, I think, is a difference maker for sure. I mean, he's from a Miami transfer, and then the tight end is also another really all league kind of guy. And you know, I think they score enough, and they're timely. And I know one thing they do. I was reading for some reason their game notes today, and they score a lot in the second quarter, so they sort of pick their spots, and yeah, their defense is good. So yeah, I don't know, you know, somebody's got them number one. And for weeks, I was kind of having fun with my power rankings, and we didn't have a number one. We just did code number twos.
Yeah.
And you know, it was kind of a running joke, and with Harry Mayhem and myself on a podcast. And finally this week, you know, I pulled the trigger and said, all right, I'm gonna pick Marshall number one. So who knows if that'll, how long that'll last. I think that they used probably breathing down their neck, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I think all North Texas fans have a very high opinion of Florida Atlantic right now, just because of the beatdown that they gave the Mean Green over there in Boca Raton. That was so ridiculous, and I don't know if we're all over that. I mean, yeah. I was thinking that, you know, when they scored, what, it was 8 touchdowns against Old Dominion there. I was like, okay, well, Old Dominion's kind of having some trouble. That's kind of, you know, the MO. You know, maybe we can't really learn too much from that. But I don't know. North Texas' defense hasn't been great, but they were pretty decent stopping the run. And I think so was Middle Tennessee. So
Old Dominion, you know, he's got some, you know, their defensive line was the strength of the team. It was expected to be. And early in the year, they were, you know, they were good. And the competition wasn't what it is in the league. You know, they played Auburn, they played UMass, and then quickly they turned it up against two ACC teams. But, yeah, the SAU game was a complete shock to a lot of people up here as well. You know, they spread Old Dominion out, and then they would kind of cut back. And I think Old Dominion's linebackers sort of over-pursued and left some holes in the middle. And they didn't do a lot of running just right up the gut. I mean, they sort of schemed it up. And, you know, I was getting messages from people during the game saying, you know, fire the defensive coordinator, you know, that kind of stuff. and when you give up that many rushing yards, 455 you know, you're going to hear those kind of things. But, yeah, I'm not sure what exactly to make of FAU, but, you know, watch out. I mean, they look pretty good.
Yeah, I was reading, you know? I was reading your like, recap there and your blog post after that game, and I think, was it Bobby Wilder, he told you, he was like, well, you know, like, it's on the coaches also. Like, we didn't, you know, kind of, we didn't coach as well
right.
as the FAU guys.
Well, yeah, well, first, he caught a little flack, because, you know, right after the game, especially a night game, you don't have a whole lot of time to talk to the coaches. And maybe get 5 minutes, and everyone's in a hurry, and you know, you got to tell your story. And, so he initially just said, "Hey, we missed 39 tackles," you know, and kind of hung it on the players. And you know, I think they did miss a lot of tackles, but you know, a lot of times, you know, maybe they weren't in the right position to make the tackles. So there was a combination of things. And Bobby's generally pretty good about, you know, falling on his sword, you know, and saying, you know, it's on me. And I think he's generally a little shell-shocked by what's going on right now. You know, he's saying all the right things. They just need, you know, they need to win a game. I mean, it's been since September. I think I can't remember exactly the date, but was it September 9th, I think?
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't won a game. So it's been a long, long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think what the odds makers have the Main Green at 10-point favorites or something like that. So, I mean, I think what, like, Charlotte at home is probably the most realistic, and then I think Rice is not doing very well right now either. So maybe
I think, you know, the Charlotte and Rice, yeah, certainly. And there were two games between them. And then, you know, FIU, I'm not really sure what to make of them. I haven't seen them a lot. That's down there. So, we'll see. In the Middle Tennessee, last game of the year, at least last regular season game, at a minimum, out in Murfreesboro, and you know, who knows what they'll be looking like at that point, and whether they get their quarterback back by then, or I mean, they were obviously expected to be a lot better. Whether their fans are even into it, you know, that time of year, the Old Dominion, I mean, you hate to be in a spot of having to win four to qualify, but you know, they won, I think, their last nine last year or something. I didn't actually cover them last year, but I covered University of Virginia. But I know they finished really strong, and they've done it. 2014, they finished. They had a five-game losing streak, and they really played well down the stretch. So you know, they're trying stuff. And if the light bulb suddenly comes on, and some receivers step up, you know, they could be a pretty good team. But you know, I'm not sure that's going to happen this week.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Looking forward, I'm seeing maybe like Stephen Williams maybe having like a career kind of like Keon Howard. Like he had some of the same kind of things. They thrust him in Southern Miss's lineup, you know, last season, and then he turned the ball over a ton, and then you know all of a sudden now he's playing well. You know, he led a big comeback against Louisiana Tech and all that good stuff. So. I guess for North Texas fans, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's no substitute for experience. And, you know, he's already. This will be his fifth start already, and he's played in six games. So this will be his sixth game, and but he'll get at least ten games under his belt going into next year. So you know he'll be that much better off next season. And you know he said he wanted to redshirt, but he was okay. You know, and obviously he's gonna do what the coach wants you to do, but. He would have been fine redshirting. I think he was expecting. I think everyone was expecting him to redshirt. and certainly, I was as surprised as anybody when I saw him go in the game against North Carolina.
Oh, and it was also cool to see that Coach Wilder's affirmation of, you know, we're going to stick with him through thick and thin. You know, even through so many interceptions, they're still putting him in the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he basically said... we're not taking him out. He said, we're leaving him in. In fact, the FAU game was just—it was almost painful to watch. You know, he threw four interceptions, and they're not all completely on him. You know how that goes. Like sometimes the receiver will run the wrong route or the wrong depth or cut the run. But you know, still, you have four interceptions, and we asked, you know, Wilder, hey, did you think about maybe taking the guy out? And he said, no. It's like a pitcher who gives up a home run. You know, you got to leave him in, and he's got to learn to battle through it. And you know, so he's and he did come back, and I think threw a touchdown pass late against FAU. And he's a pretty confident kid. I mean, he's definitely more mature than your average 17-year-old by far. So,
I guess you would have to be, right, to get thrust in as a starter, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's not even a question. So, I think it's interesting because Old Dominion recruited him out of Washington D.C. Out of public school league up there, which is an okay league. It's not as good as, you know, some of the suburban leagues or private school leagues in the area, Northern Virginia or Maryland suburbs. For whatever reason, the big schools kind of waited a little bit longer. They were recruiting him, but they weren't really pulling the trigger. And he committed to Old Dominion pretty early. And I know the coaches told me they thought somebody was going to swoop in and grab him. And, you know, if he's still in high school, I don't think Old Dominion would get him. I mean, they just kind of got him at the right time. If he was a high school senior and was as good as he is now, I think he'd be, you know, getting a lot more attention from power conference schools.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it. Well, do you have any opinions, predictions? I mean, about the game this week.
I don't expect Old Dominion to win. I mean, I have to pick them every week in the paper, and last week I really wanted to pick them. That was really close, and I ended up picking them losing by a touchdown. They lost by four, so, and they're up 10 with in the fourth quarter. I think I just don't see them scoring enough to beat North Texas, especially on the road. And whether they can slow down the Mean Green offense, I'm not sure about that either. Oldman's got a pretty good pass rush. That's one thing they do well. They do get after the quarterback. They get Boomy Rutimi and O'Shane Jimenez. Both are on the all-name team, but they're really good pass rushers. So their secondary's been a little suspect. So I think that could come back to get them again. So I don't see the skid ending this week.
Well, we appreciate your time, and I guess people can find you. It's the Ed Miller blog, pilotonline.com, and then you're on Twitter.
Just pilotonline.com. Ed Miller VP is my Twitter handle, so that's I always post everything up there. OUBlitz.com, if you're interested, it's got all the OU stuff, including their video cast that they do with Harry Minion, who's a longtime OU writer now. He's a columnist, so Harry's still very plugged into ODU. So, if anyone wants to check it out, I'd be happy to have them do it, for sure.
Well, we appreciate your time. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll check it out. We'll definitely check it out. Appreciate it.
Okay, looking forward to coming again. Thanks very much.
Sure.
All right, folks, that was Ed Miller, good guy, good writer, beat writer for the Old Dominion blog, basically, the ODU Blitz, you call it, ODUBlitz.com. A lot of papers are doing that, where they just kind of, they bought a domain name, and they just kind of point to their coverage, which is probably the way to go. I actually didn't know that they have a podcast, so that's cool. I knew that Harry Minium was the plugged in ODU, and I reached out to him first. He's like, "Yeah, you want to talk to Ed Miller?" So that's how we got him. That's how we found him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna play Old Dominion, and I think this is a good palate cleansing game. I mentioned this on the solo podcast. Aldo just left me. He's like, "You know what? I'm so hurt about this game. I can't even podcast right now.
I'm still crying."
No, Aldo was busy. I think this is a perfect game. Like, they have a quarterback that throws a lot of interceptions. That he's young. He's going to make mistakes. This is a great game for our defense, who's hurting a little bit. Pride's hurting a little bit. It's a great game for them to get back on their feet and feel good about themselves. And, you know, most of sports are really any human activity. Is confidence, right? I mean, it's amazing what a little confidence will get you, will help you achieve. And so this is a perfect game for North Texas right now, and it's enough competition that they can't just completely just roll the ball out there, as Seth Luttrell like to say, just roll the ball out there and compete. You know, the Old Dominion has a decent pass rush, they have a good coaching staff, but they're not so good that it could really cause problems or something like that. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. It'll be interesting to watch their pass defense on paper is pretty good. They hold quarterbacks to fairly low totals, but I don't know if that's like a product of the system that, that teams just run all over them. But in, as you mentioned, Ximenez, the defensive end, can cause problems for us. He'll probably get a sack or two on Fine. You know, because their pass defense is good on paper, you know, the only scouting I've done is watching the Virginia Tech game, and it that wasn't a very fair assessment. So we'll see how they do against Mason Fine, Jalen Guyton, and Lawrence. But I hope to see Wilson get back into the game. I want him to get like 26 carries just to establish him again as the focal point of the offense rather than the pass offense. Because, you know, we saw him get taken out of the game these past two games, mostly for pass protection. You know, against UTSA, he was in because they were just blitzing and blitzing and blitzing. And we got away from him last week just because we got down by, you know, 80,000 points.
Yeah, I mean, I know I said I was going to stop talking about the FAU game. But I went back and looked at it. And I watched the first half again. And, I mean, a lot of it was, again, just kind of preparation. One thing I thought was like a little parallel there between what Bobby Wilder said and kind of how it looked to me, North Texas going out there, was that it looked like the coaching staff, their coaching staff was better than our coaching staff. And I don't think that's like a shameful thing to admit. Like sometimes you're just like, you know what? Yeah, they knew how to prepare for our guys better than we knew how to prepare for them, right? Briles.
Yeah, we got out-schemed.
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, that's the thing is that, like, maybe we're all kind of reading a little too much into that game because the Briles offense has been making defensive coordinators for years say those same kind of things where people are like, fire the defensive coordinator. Get everybody out of there. We suck. This is not what I thought. Because they put up 700 yards, and you're just like, oh, my God, we just got eviscerated. Everybody looks tired. How come nobody ever works out? And you're like, yeah, they do work out. This is, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Why are they taking pictures at the hot tub? This is horrible.
Like, just like everything that they did during the week. And it's not that, you know, like that going to the hot tub or staying inside the hotel room was not going to make you better prepared for FAU at that point in time. And I think you just have to look at other teams' reaction to that same offense. And if you kind of see some parallels. It's a good kick in the butt, right? When Troy Ref, it's like, well, yeah, everybody has to play better. It's good. Sometimes taking a loss like that is good. Obviously, in college football or football in general, there's so few games that you really can't take a loss like that, you know, and I can really kind of recover from it. But it's good. Good.
I'm glad that it happened at this point of the season rather than, you know, something during the postseason if we're getting there.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, I think you always want to go out on a high, and that's what's cool about bowl games, is because you get to, you know, go out with a win possibly, or just a fun experience. And even if you were, you know, 5-7 or 6-6, and if you win your bowl game and you're 7-6, it's not the greatest season, but you feel good about it. Look at that 2013 season, right? The loss to UTSA was bad, but we went to a bowl game, we won it, and so we felt great. We were handing out rings for it. You know what I mean? It was great, like bowl champions.
You forget about the conference title.
Yeah, you forget about all that stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, I think later on maybe the bragging rights when you're on like a Conference USA message board. Yes, there are those things in this world, Conference USA message boards. But when you're on one of those and somebody's like, yeah, whatever, sure, you had a great season, but Florida Atlantic demolished you. You remember 69-30 and it was actually 69-17 there for a while? You got nothing to say about that. So, you know, like, again, we're fans, right? You know, I spent my week going to work and then blogging about the team. I didn't have film study. I'm not going to go out there and play. So I can think about the future. If North Texas controls their destiny well, I guess, so they do what they're supposed to do what they can do, they're favored by the advanced numbers and, you know, some other numbers to win the rest of the games. If they do that, they go to the conference championship game. And if Florida Atlantic plays the way that they're trending, you get another crack at them, right? It'll be in Boca Raton again, right? This time maybe instead of 600 people, there'll be maybe 700 people. Who knows? And, you know, you get another shot. And that's all you can kind of ask for. But, you know, obviously you run the risk of getting beat like that again, which is a very real possibility. That aside, Old Dominion is a great palate cleanser. As you said, there's, you know, I watched a little bit of that Western Kentucky game, a little bit of the Marshall game, the Virginia Tech game, like bits and pieces. They didn't really do too much. I saw highlights of North Carolina. What do we see from that? That this is a team quarterbacked by a 17-year-old, you know? As good as he is, as mature as he is, he's going to make mistakes. He reminds me a lot of the Mason Fine situation, like I said.
Yeah, he's a really good runner, so we just got to make sure we contain him. And he can be pretty accurate on the run. so as long as we play some safe ball and we attack the run game, because, man, they've got two really good running backs in Ray Lowry and Jeremy Cox. So that's going to be their focal point of their game. So, you know, same thing I said with FAU. As long as we can stop the run game, you know, not allow 437 yards, then it should be manageable to where we can start playing our own brand of football.
And what is our brand of football? I think that's another question. I contended during the game and on the recap and on the podcast that I felt like it was more the offense. Like, the offense had something to do with the defense sucking. Because at one point it was 24-7. The offense scored. And the defense almost got to stop it. They get a stop there, and the offense goes down and scores again. It's a different game, right? It's 24-14. It at least feels like a different game, at least there. And, you know, at that point, the offense had turned the ball over twice. You know, fumbled on down, sort of, threw an interception, and then punted on like a 3-and-out. Like, those are not good plays. And, you know, I just said this before, that we have some offensive gurus on our side, and they had answers to our questions, right? You know, we're like, oh, yeah, we're going to come out with Jalen Guyton and Jeff Wilson. Like, oh, yeah, interception. I'm like, oh, we go sit down. So, you know, same kind of deal. They have some talent. They have front four that can get to Mason Fine. Do we have answers for that? Because last week they were getting a little bit to Mason Fine. They were getting in his face. The interception he threw, the one where Rico Buzzi kind of turned around and kind of just watched it be intercepted. There was a guy.
He got smashed.
Yeah, there was a guy like getting ready to lay down on Mason Fine while you fired that up. You don't want that. You obviously don't want your quarterback to be running around for his life. You don't want him rolling out and trying to find somebody on the run, even though he can do that. I mean, there was the drive included a couple plays where he rolled out and made a play. You don't want him to do that. I like Mason Fine standing straight up, delivering the football, and you know, having a clean jersey. And yeah,
for sure. And that'll really depend on our right tackle again, because he's going to have another difficult game with Ximenez, and he had a difficult game last week.
I really like to see Jeff Wilson get like something like 20 carries in this game. It's been a while since he's had 20 carries, and at least in the Florida Atlantic game, I think that some of that was was our fault. You know, we didn't do a whole lot to try to establish him. And I know we, you know, maybe contradicting ourselves. I know we like to say, hey, this offense has answers for everybody and gets the ball to the open guy. But there are things we can do to get the ball to Jeff Wilson a little bit. Like, we're letting them take us out of that option too quickly. I thought Jeff would have a big yards in that game, because it's like Florida Atlantic was allowing something like 4.5 yards a carry in conference play. And, you know, I really just felt like, hey, we can get some yards on there. First couple carries, Jeff Wilson got a lot of yards, you know, it was like right up the middle. We tried a couple things, like stretching it wide, which is part of our offense. We tried to do some of that. But I don't know. I felt like there could have been more done. And obviously, I'm just guy on the internet saying this, right? Give the ball to Jeff Wilson again. But coaches said the same thing.
I think we just got out of rhythm. Yep. And we just never were able to get back into it until FAU led us in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, 17 points entering into the fourth quarter is not what we think this offense is capable of. And Florida Atlantic's defense was not so great. So I don't think that Old Dominion's defense is better than Florida Atlantic's defense. We're at home. We really should be doing better against this team. I mean, you know, it's a little hard to kind of look at Old Dominion and say, well, you know, they've allowed 34 a game, so therefore we should kill them, because they're a little bit different team. You know, he mentioned, Ed Miller mentioned the improvement, getting some guys back, and they played well enough to win against Western Kentucky. So, I mean, it's a little difficult just to you look at the numbers and say, let me just extrapolate a nice little trend line here, right? But still, this offense is good enough to beat up on Old Dominion, and it should beat up on Old Dominion. The advanced numbers
almost
say
won
so,
against Western Kentucky.
Yeah. What did I say? The win?
Yeah.
Oh, the almost win. Played well enough to almost win.
Yeah, on paper, this matchup is in our favor.
Sweet.
It just depends on how we execute. You know, are we going to execute like we did last week? Or are we going to execute like we did against UTSA, which UTSA is a solid Conference USA team, and it was back and forth with those guys. You know, there's no criticism to be given to the team because we stayed in it until the last second. You know, the defense, while they allowed conversions on critical situations, they only allowed 4 out of, I don't know, remember, 12 or 16. So that's an improvement on the third downs. So if we play like we did against UTSA, then obviously it's better than, I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's better than how we executed against FAU. You know, we can't do what we did, which was nothing against FAU.
You know how we did nothing? Let's not do that. Let's do better than that. I mean, I get your point. I totally understand where you're trying to go there. You know, Old Dominion is, again, they're the perfect team for this kind of thing. They're good enough. They have talent enough that, you know, these guys are going to have to prepare. And, you know, they can't just say, we're going to just walk on over them. And, like, that team would be like a Rice or something, right? Or like a UTEP, a team that's clearly struggling. Although, as has been said this week and everybody's been saying, North Texas is really not good enough to just walk out there and beat anybody without really preparing and, you know, got to get back to blue-collar bread. Sure. Yes. Yes, we got to do all that. I mean, I also think that if you took out the FAU game, right, and we put this one in there, we play same preparation, same lead up and everything. We blow out Old Dominion, same thing. I think FAU is a little bit better than we're all giving them credit for. And, you know, I was a little concerned about the coaching staff, but they really put it together. They really came out and executed well. And I don't know how much just, you know, I think what Ed Miller said, right, they missed 39 tackles against Florida Atlantic, but some of that is not being in the right position. Yeah, when you think the ball is going to the left and you're running as hard as you can, you're like, oh man, it's actually going a little bit over here, and you turn around and try to make an arm tackle and you miss that. Yeah, that, and it looks like you're just missing a tackle, but you're out of position. You're not running in there ready to make the tackle.
Well, the refs missed about 39 holds, so there's that.
Yeah, I mean, there is also that. I saw that pass interference penalty, and I mean, I don't know what you do at that point. It was a very tough situation to be in. And I think that's important to say. Like, it was so tough and so weird that you could almost call it an anomaly, right? Just block it out your brain.
It was. I mean, it's an anomaly. You know, it's a Conference USA record. It's definitely an anomaly, and it's an anomaly for this team. You know, as quote-unquote poorly as we were performing as a defense this season, we were still good enough to keep the offense in games. You know, we were relying on the offense to get us back into a lead. You know, there's been adversity nearly every single game, but the defense was doing just enough to keep us afloat, to keep the offense in striking distance, basically.
Yeah, and that happened ever since the SMU game, right? We did that against Southern Miss. We got down, defense kept them in it, allowed them to come back. Against UTSA, the defense held a solid UTSA offense to only 63 yards, 1 of 5 on third down conversions in the quarter, and only 3 points when the offense was giving it away. Mason Fine threw an interception, and the defense held them to 3 points. Like, that's the kind of stuff we needed from the defense against Florida Atlantic. It wasn't there. You know, I think you've made the contention often that this is a team led by the offense, and I agree. I agree with you. The offense is further along than the defense. Last year, the defense was a little bit ahead of the offense, although not by much. It's not quite in balance. It's still an improving team, still improving the depth. A lot of stuff happening along in the North Texas program. And I think what could happen is that loss last week could really change everything, really shatter everybody's beliefs. And that's why I think this one's good. I feel like North Texas comes out and wins by more than 2 touchdowns. I think 10 points is a little low. I think they're angry, and they're out to prove some things, you know? And they're talented enough to actually prove those things.
Yeah, I hope we see us execute. And like you said, win by more than that. I think at the beginning, we're going to start off slow, low-scoring game, but it's going to end with a lot of points. And I want, like, 70-yard touchdown to Guyton, 70-yard touchdown to Nick Smith. So, you know, you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown, you get a touchdown.
Everybody get a touchdown. Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of Jeff Wilson, maybe even seeming like we're forcing it to him. But, we're definitely going to get him the ball, definitely get Guyton the ball. Guyton was held, you know, catchless. I think he only had the one target, and it was not even on target. It was way above his head. Just all around bad game, and this lines up to be perfect. Although, I can see Old Dominion sneaking up on you. I mean, they have the kind of offense, and I think they have a good coaching staff. They're well coached. That could jump up and bite you. But I think they kind of used that up last week. You know, that was a game they were going to win. They're like, here's a Western Kentucky team that we want to beat. It's on a Friday, so things are a little weird. They're not quite prepared. Mike Sanford's in here, and he hasn't quite got a grasp of this Western Kentucky team. So we feel like we can beat them. And they jumped out to a big enough lead. You know what I mean? Like, it was all right there for them. And there's got to be some disappointment, you know, having lost, especially in the fashion they did.
For sure. And I was kind of thinking the same thing, that their game was last week, and so it's going to be a different game for them this week. But if they do jump out ahead, I think we have a good enough coaching staff to make the adjustments necessary to keep them at bay. You know, the running backs might combine for over 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, but I feel like we'll outproduce that both in the air and on the ground by a whole lot more.
Yeah, we really got to keep Steven Williams in the box, and he likes to throw it deep, but I think the defense is going to give him enough confusing looks to maybe get another interception or two. He's still super young. We got a lot of interceptions and things. I think we just fumbled from Keon Howard last year, and you know, I made that comparison. Keon Howard was a highly touted freshman out of, like, well, I think he was from Laurel, Mississippi. And, you know, like, they really felt excited about him over there at Southern Miss. And you can see some of that. You know, he can run and he can throw a little bit, but he was just not ready to play, to be the starting quarterback as a freshman. Like, we took advantage of that last year. I see a lot of that happening in this game coming up. I didn't really believe too much in Old Dominion coming into this season, just because they lost David Washington. You lose a quarterback like that. And I thought the schedule didn't really line up for them too well. So I've been an Old Dominion skeptic. I'll admit it. You know, I'll admit it right now. Hi, I'm Adam. I'm an Old Dominion skeptic. And, you know, despite the how much I like Bobby Wilder, he's a cool dude. I just think North Texas wins this game fairly easily. And I'm totally ready to be wrong.
Steve Williams' arm is basically Ricky Vaughn's arm.
Just can't. So crazy. You know, that's the thing. It's just a little side story. My brother has a cannon arm. Like, he could just throw the ball. Like, I was always, like, a little bit better athlete. I can run faster, jump higher. But I could not throw the ball as far as my little brother. And that always bothered me. I just didn't know what it was. He just has a good arm. And it's just weird how that happens, right? Just like a guy that could jump, guy that can throw. Like, evolutionary speaking, like, what is the use of that, you know? I don't know. You can throw a spear? I don't know. Cool, man, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, cause I don't know the answer either. I don't know. Are you over the FAU loss yet? Are you getting there? I mean,
you know, as a super fan as I am, I'm still kind of bothered by it. But we just need to move on. I know what we did. I know what went wrong. Just fix it, you know? You know, yeah. guys like Agia and Garner were hitting the wrong gaps. They were out of position, like you were saying, and that opened up big holes for Singletary and Howell and Driscoll to just waltz right through there. So it wasn't that they were better than us. We just were in the wrong place for FAU the right time.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, it was not like they don't know where they're supposed to be, because they did know where they were supposed to be. But I just kept thinking about like how Florida Atlantic did that fake read option lead play. They would fake like they were doing an option to Buddy Howell. And so they would – it looked like they were optioning off of Ashton Preston, right? But instead, Buddy Howell would arc back and lead block for Driscoll. And so you had Agia rolling left, right, the way he's supposed to, filling his gap. But now all of a sudden he needs to get back and he needs to fight through a block. And he made a tackle. He made the tackle. But that's the deal. It's like the guy you leave unblocked is over there, the furthest guy from the play. That's just good scheming up by Florida Atlantic. And I guess you can say, well, the defensive line needs to get in there and make some plays. Yeah. Yeah, everybody would love a monster defensive lineman that can blow up plays in the backfield. That is the goal of every recruiting, guy ever. Yeah, so, I mean, not gonna,
or even every defensive line player.
Yeah, I mean, they all want to do that, and for the most part, you can't have that every play. I think the closest we have to that in Conference USA right now is UTSA's Marcus Davenport, who single-handedly makes their entire defense great because he's getting to the backfield. I mean, he almost won that Rice game by himself. I was watching a little bit of that. If they don't have him, I think Rice maybe pulls that off. Anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, big game this week. Do you have any prediction? Like actual numbers? Like, are we going to win like 50? I'm going to say we're going to win 50 to 20. I'm calling it right now. 50 to 20, North Texas.
Well, last week I wavered and said, 78-0. This week I'm going to go back to my 81-0.
There you go, man. Go with your gut. Go full throttle. Don't go at all. So everybody gets back to it. Everybody feels good. Mason Fine on a 350-yard gain. Like the whole thing, the whole deal. We just blow them out real easy. Like, is that what you're predicting?
Yeah, and we need that. If we want to go to the conference title game, we need that game.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, and I mentioned this before, I don't think there's anything wrong with it kind of expecting that thing now. This conference is not great, right? Like, Marshall, even if they are the best team, they have clear flaws. FAU, even if they are the best team, they have some clear flaws also. North Texas, Southern Miss, UTSA, all these teams, you throw them out there, they have clear flaws in them. And nobody's good enough to, be overcome. And so you could say that's fine. North Texas is good enough and they have a thing, right? It's the offense. The offense right now is the thing that can win them enough games. And you can kind of expect them because eventually – that's where you want your program to go, to a point where you expect them to win games, and they have that kind of pressure on them. That's what you want, right? You go to Alabama, you don't go, man, everybody wants us to win all the time. Like, I don't know, like, I don't like this. Like, well, yeah, this is what's expected of you. You go to Alabama, you're expected to win. That's part of the game, and I think it's good. It's good. It's good to have a little expectation on them.
Sure, and that's something we haven't had in a long time. And, partly it's that there's a whole bunch of parity this season in Conference USA. But we have seen the team execute in a way that they've executed better than, 90% of the rest of the league. So you expect them to be able to go in and take care of business on anybody in the league.
Yeah, even just play up to average. I mean...
Yeah. And average is, 300 yards passing a game and 150 to 200 yards rushing a game, which is excellent. And, credit to the coaching staff to have brought a team two seasons later from one of the worst teams in the nation, worse than several FCS squads,
yeah,
to, top in terms of advanced stats, top 70, 60 to 70.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Even then, 2015 North Texas was not good. 2014 North Texas was a very bad offense. Three very bad offenses in a row. All of a sudden, a very good offense. right? Number one in the conference. I think that's impressive, and we got to give a round of applause to that right now. Good job. Now keep doing it. That's what you say. Hey, great job. Keep doing it. Let's go. Next one.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, so I think that's about it. I mean, our thanks to Ed Miller of ODU Blitz, pilotonline.com. You can find it fairly easily. Ed Miller VP on Twitter. You can find us. Mean Green Nation is the Twitter handle for me. I mean, I man that Twitter handle mostly. But you can find Aldo on the internets too. Aldo, where are you?
Aldo Avina, Aldo Avina. And I do want to give an apology. I was going to ask Ed, hey, are you a pilot, Ed? And I completely forgot.
Hey, do you like your gig? Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was asking, like, who's the best, you know, like, fan blogger, right? I mean, not that I have anything against the newspaper guys. It just, you know, like, I want to, we're fan independent side. I just want to see, you know, like for like. Who else is out there doing what we're doing? And I can't find anybody. Like, there's nothing out there that is, like, ODU fan-centric. I think the Underdog Dynasty guys have a guy, like a kicker or something like that. He used to be. And he, like, jumps on a podcast. But that's it. There's no. I asked Old Dominion fans. I was like, yo, who knows the most? And they're like, Ed Miller, basically. I was like, all right, cool. Let's get Ed on the thing. So I would do it here. So if you were like, well, why the change up? First Shane and then all this. That's why the change up. That's what happened. Anything else? Oh, if you ordered a shirt, thank you. Thank you. I donated, as promised, a little bit of the money, a portion of the proceeds to the Mean Green Club. And then, you know, you should be getting your shirts. I want to send them out Friday because that's when I get them from the printer. Cool. Everybody. Is everybody happy about that? It's kind of a down week to get the shirts. Like, we just got beat.
Start crying when you open the box.
I remember memories. The other week when we were good. I
mean, remember fun. That one time?
Yeah. You were going to say something before I interrupted you with the oh yeah?
I don't remember.
Dang, it was not even important. Dang.
Yeah, I mean, expect us to win. Let's go for it.
Cool. Don't forget, y'all, you can subscribe to the Mean Green Nation podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe to it on your favorite podcast catcher. I personally use Pocket Casts on iOS. You know, I think you can find us in Stitcher also, but I don't actually like Stitcher so much. But, I mean, you know, you listen to it, stream it on the site. All the ways you can do that. Leave a comment. Leave some feedback. Believe it or not, I do like to hear some feedback. Again, good or bad, like, hey, you suck, I'll take it. If you're like, hey, you're great, I'll take it. We appreciate all the feedback. Everybody who has left feedback, emails, texts, just comments, maybe on a message board, we do appreciate it. And we have, you know, absorbed it and incorporated it into the show. So we appreciate that. Anything else we want to say before we go? No?
No. Bring your blankets to the game.
Is it going to be cold out there?
It's going to be cold. Oh, the low is going to be upper 30s, I think.
Yeah. Did so you see that Ren did they have a thank you for the Mean Green Club members. So if you're a Mean Green Club member,
oh, yeah.
You get two free tickets.
Yeah, two free tickets, general admission, I think that's what they said.
Yeah, you're going to be up in the wing where it's super cold and
yeah.
And super loud, apparently. Oh, but if you bring your kid and they're eighth grade or younger and they have a costume on, they get in free too. So this is a great, it's a nice little deal. You bring the whole family out there, go to the game, you know.
Yeah, this group is doing a really good job of trying to get more people out to the game.
Yeah. So last year we played UTSA on Halloween, right? I think it was Halloween, the day before Halloween. Me and my family, like I dressed up as like a Riddler. I tried to custom. I didn't order a Riddler costume. It was green. My wife dressed up as Poison Ivy, right? You know, green again. My mother did like a witch with the green face. And my kid as a dragon, little tiny baby as a dragon. So if in case you're looking for like ideas and you want to get green out there, you want to do something like that. there you go. There's a lot of green characters. You can do the Hulk, right?
If you want to be brave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if you've been hitting the gym, right? You know, it's like now's the time to shine. So if you want to be the Hulk, if you want to be, you know, what else is green? Teenage Mutant
Green
Ninja
Lantern.
Turtle. Green Lantern. There you go. So if you want to support your squad, also be in a costume, that's how I suggest you do it.
Yeah. Or you can go as the now cool Aquaman.
Yeah, I guess. If you want to be, what's his face? What's his name? I can't even remember his name.
Drogo?
Yeah, that's his Cal character's Drogo. Name. I mean, what is his real name? I don't even think I know it.
No, I think that's his real name.
His name is always Cal Drogo. You know, that reminds me, again, another story about my brother. He used to call Macaulay Culkin Home Alone. Like, that was, because my brother was, like, I was super young. Do you remember when Home Alone was, like, running through and dropped the, I was like, wait, do you think that's his name, Home Alone? Anyway, there you go. One more embarrassing story about my brother to close the show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.